Hi, and welcome back to The Growth System, the podcast that looks at B2B growth through a systems thinking lens. I'm Colin Shakespeare.
And I'm Chris Bayliss. And this week, we are into the first episode proper of our series on the Growth Team Operating System. So last week, we really introduced the concept of the operating system. We talked about the 12 different dimensions and the value that those provide when properly designed and delivered within your growth team. So this week we are into the first of our specific dimensions that we are talking about. So this week we are talking about purpose. And, you know, purpose is really the foundation stone of not just our growth team operating system, but actually systems in general. You know, systems, as we've talked about way back on the very first episode, a system has three parts. It has purpose, it has elements, and it has interconnections. And the growth team operating system really is a platform to structure all of these elements within your business to deliver the outcomes that you want. And it really all starts with purpose. But Colin, I know you have a bee in your bonnet about purpose. So why don't you tell us what purpose isn't to get us started?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we need to do this. But I think anyone who researches this topic will come up, will find the same problem. There's a lot of confusion out there, particularly in the marketing. Well, I'm always having a dig at marketing. Sorry, Chris.
Surely not.
But there's a lot of, let's say, purpose washing out there, where there's confusing corporate and social responsibility and sustainability initiatives and all these good things with what is really meant by purpose. And this is not good. It actually kind of robs, I think, purpose of its proper place in you're thinking about how you should run your organization, essentially. So I won't go on too big a rant about it, but that's effective. Well, it's important to clarify that that is not what we mean here by purpose. It's not about saving the trees or the polar bears, or although if that is your company's purpose, then there would be some convergence there.
Maybe it is, yeah. So now that that's clear, yeah.
Perhaps you could tell us kind of more about what purpose actually is and why it's so important in the context that we mean here in a systems context, Chris.
Absolutely. So I think it's really not about CSR. This is not about a sort of motivational poster on the wall. It's not a sort of addendum to your strategy document. It's really the complex kind of adaptive heart of the enterprise, if you like. It is the cornerstone of any system. It is the, particularly in businesses, we've said many times before, which are goal-seeking systems. It's also really what your whole orientation is, the whole organization, should I say, is orientated towards. So it shapes every dimension of the organizational operating system, of the growth team operating system that we are talking about over this series. And it really looks at and guides everything from kind of like the mental models that kind of exist within your team, the governance structures, the feedback loops, the sort of emergent cultural norms that you have in your organization. But first and foremost, it is a what we might term a deep structuring principle. So it clarifies kind of the boundaries that the organization operates within, and it kind of creates a sort of resilience as the organization moves forward over time. The reason why it's the first dimension in our operating system and why we kind of want to talk about, what we're going to talk about, I guess, today is the why. You know, why is it that first dimension? And what we're going to talk about today is some pretty, I think, interesting concepts, some stuff that might sound a little bit academic. We're going to get into some systems theory. But first and foremost, what you need to know is that having a strong purpose that everyone understands, that is communicated well through the organization, that has genuine meaning, that is not a CSR virtue signaling exercise, that is the genuine reason for being for your organization and making sure everyone understands that, will in itself achieve all the things we're going to talk about today. So take from this episode that it is about the why, but the what is and the outtake is have a strong purpose and communicate it. So let's get into it.
I was just going to say, Chris, it's important that we do that, that there's a reason why purpose is first in the order of the growth team operating system dimensions that we're discussing here, because I think it was not one of your favorite authors who has a book out called Start With The Why, and that's essentially what we're doing here from a systems, a deeper sort of systems perspective. Yeah.
Yes, I will leave my personal prejudices outside of the podcast, but yes, on that, he and I can agree. So absolutely, it is the why. It is, as I kind of mentioned in the lead-in, it is the deep structuring principle for the organization. So what does that mean? I mean, ultimately, the purpose is the kind of implicit grammar, if you like. It is the statement, it is the, the principle on how decisions are kind of framed, how resources are allocated, how relationships are kind of forged with other organizations or internally. It sets the boundary conditions for sort of acceptable behavior, for desirable behavior, the sort of reference points for collective aspiration. And it's that sort of phrase, boundary conditions, that I think really kind of set this up as why it is so important, because a clearly articulated why, as you rightly kind of pointed out, marks what the organization will and won't do. And it really prevents, organizational energy from dispersing into, things that are divergent from the purpose, into kind of irrelevant directions, into blind alleys. And we've talked about, I think on the last series, we talked about some, like, when systems go wrong, and talking about some organizations that have got this spectacularly wrong, really, where they kind of hadn't set their boundary conditions right, and therefore they made decisions that were completely contrary to sort of the accepted emergent purpose, if you like, of what their organization did. So what it really helps us do, the purpose as a deep structuring principle, is it creates a generative tension, you might call it. So it sort of connects the current state of the organization with the future state. So it orientates everyone in the organization towards this kind of core ambition, this core purpose. And it sort of, as I say, creates that tension that pulls us towards the future state. So it kind of is this element that transcends initiatives. It transcends kind of strategies and technologies and org charts and all the stuff that feels like it dominates the day to day, because we have these boundary conditions in place that make sure that we are kind of drawing ourselves towards that future vision state for the organization. So that's really the key principle to take from today, is that it is our organizational conscience that helps us make decisions. And one of the ways it kind of does this is by acting as what you might call a fractal anchor. So in complex adaptive systems like organizations, then large-scale patterns, shifts in behavior, shifts in fortune, often stem from lots of smaller-scale behaviors. And people call that sort of phenomenon fractility. And purpose can serve as a fractal anchor, which means that it kind of roots purpose into the decision-making paradigm for every level of the organization. I'm using a lot of fluffy words here, but really what I mean is an enterprise level, like a big kind of C-suite level where the big decisions are made, strategic decisions, brand positioning, like organizational direction, big resource deployments. Purpose anchors us to why we exist. It allows us to do those big steering actions. And at a kind of departmental sort of team level, it also allows us to then set project goals, to set kind of collaboration structures with adjacent functions, to kind of create sort of local context that roots local actions into the same purpose as those higher level decisions are made. So rather than, a well understood purpose means that if the organization decides that we are going to go after market A, then it would be very easy at team level to think, okay, well, what they must mean by that is, we're going to do this thing that we think is interesting in market A. Whereas actually purpose creates this sort of unifying, anchoring effect that means like, okay, well, we are trying to achieve this thing. That's always the guiding vision. So no matter where we're doing it, with what products, with what people, in what language, we're always trying to do this thing. So it creates this sort of steering function.
And surely, Chris, that sort of promotes some of that distributed authority and sort of decision-making power that we talked about on the last episode, if everyone is really anchored properly to the purpose.
Yeah.
It sort of organically creates alignment as an emergent property, right?
Absolutely. And I think that the reason that that happens, the reason you kind of get that alignment, the reason that sort of alignment emerges is when you kind of have fractally embedded purpose that has relevance at each level of the organization, then it allows you to, first of all, identify goal conflict really, really easily. So, you can see, does this ladder up to what we're supposed to be doing? And horizontally across the organization, do all these things make sense in a way that is keeping us in line with purpose? That's kind of, the sort of the fractality of purpose that's kind of gone into different parts of the org. But as you say, it also kind of supports like self-organization. And, one of the ways it does that is by creating what you might call mental models within the individuals in the org. So if fractal purpose is about giving purpose relevance at each level of the org, then mental models are really about embedding purpose into the kind of, to use a really fluffy academic term, the organizational mindscape. But really, basically just make sure everyone's got good and proper in their head what they're supposed to be doing and where they're supposed to be going.
And I guess why they're doing it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Why are we doing what we're doing? What are we actually trying to achieve? Because in the day-to-day of every human being, whether they're in business or not, we have to have selective attention. We can't pay attention to absolutely everything that's happening in the environment. It's the reason that, they say that like out-of-home advertising and the amount of ads that we see every day, are unimpactful in a way that they weren't sort of 40 or 50 years ago, because we just have an overwhelming amount of messages, amount of signals hammered into our brain every single day. And by creating, embedding purpose into the mental model of the people in our organization, then we can make sure that with that selective attention, we're focusing on the right signals. If we know that our purpose is to, bring maximum speed and reliability to kind of enterprise communications, then, then the team are going to be really aware of things like, latency issues or technical bottlenecks or whatever, that if speed and reliability is our purpose, then, we will focus on those things above all else, and we will therefore get to our purpose as an organization more effectively, because we will be focusing on the right signals and we'll be doing that in a decentralized way. And that's really the other point on kind of mental models and self-organization, is that it creates decentralized decision-making and therefore faster decision-making, because the purpose becomes a kind of a heuristic, it's a direction, and therefore it becomes really obvious what the right choices are for employees to make, because they know where they're trying to get to. So we have this kind of guiding rationale that helps us to evaluate every course of action down to an individual contributor level. And that is super powerful, super, super powerful, because, it becomes an enabler to make sure that whatever the context is, and indeed however the context changes, that we can still make decisions that get us towards that purpose quicker. It's probably also worth mentioning very briefly that mental models, we're talking about this, or I have talked about this to date, as if we are, we are building a system from a clean sheet of paper. Well, actually, mental models are emergent from whatever people think the purpose of the organization is. So if you are trying to redefine that purpose, to clarify that purpose, and it turns out that whatever you are defining or clarifying it at is divergent from what people think the purpose is, then these mental models are also a massive inhibitor. So they are, you know, thinking about mental models and the way that they impact self-organization, you need to think about them in two ways. You need to understand the as-is state of the organization with respect to what they believe purpose is. Because if you don't identify that there is a divergence there between, you know, accepted and actual, or accepted, you know, current and future state, if you will, then you're always going to have these mental models working against you. And you know, that's a key thing to make sure that we, you know, that we kind of maintain this sort of dynamic dialogue around purpose, so that we ensure that it stays relevant and it stays accurate in the minds of the people that we work with.
And that it's able to sort of continually align with sort of changing contexts. Like one that I really like, Chris and I both have young kids, so we think about stuff like this probably more than grown-ups should, but the Lego, for example, see their purpose is to inspire and develop the builders of tomorrow. Well, that can really change and continuously align with changing context. So the actual bricks that we think of as the product Lego don't necessarily need to exist anymore for that purpose still to ring true. So I guess when we're thinking about purpose and creating that North Star for the business, we need to think about how robust that purpose is against the sort of future of changing context.
Absolutely. Such a good example as well, because, you know, Lego have been doing all sorts of product innovation that has elements of like coding in it as well. And, you know, inspiring the builders of tomorrow. Well, what are the builders of tomorrow going to be building? Well, it's probably not all going to be bricks. And I think that, you know, that gives them that strategic clarity, but also the ability to make decisions that might have seemed contrary to the sort of accepted direction of the business, because they know that their purpose is not to ship as many plastic bricks as possible. It's to, you know, meet the evolving needs of human beings by inspiring children to kind of have the careers that they want when they get there. And I think that that is, you know, that's really powerful in terms of underpinning that. I think there's kind of, you know, if we think that a clear sort of side effect of purpose is kind of self-organization, it's that creating mental models that kind of build the ability to be autonomous and to kind of drive things like inter-team alignment, because everyone, you know, understands and shares the why, so they know how they should be collaborating. You know, they know they can make decisions that drive us in the right direction. It also, you know, has a kind of governance element to it as well, which I think is really powerful, because it allows people in the organization to kind of recognize emergent patterns and feedback loops, particularly kind of non-linear feedback loops. And what I mean by non-linear feedback loops is that often cause and effect aren't necessarily directly linked. And I think when you're doing things with purpose, you know, inevitably they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be directly linked. They might be causal, but they're not going to be instant. And being able to observe things like, you know, market recognition of a particular direction, you know, that can drive a reinforcing loop within the organization. You know, if you make a purpose-led decision, you know, and that might help you to attract better partners because they understand what you're all about. It might drive, you know, better employee commitment because they, you know, they can get behind and get passionate about what you're trying to achieve, which most likely is going to drive more sales, which is going to create more resources, which is going to not just strengthen the purpose, but strengthen the speed, you know, increase the speed at which you can deliver on your purpose. So we have this kind of like, you know, positive reinforcing loop that can be spotted. Equally, you know, you get from purpose a sort of, yeah, potentially a sort of balancing loop that enables us to make better decisions when we come to things like resource allocation. So very often in business, and I think we can sometimes be guilty of this ourselves, you know, you have a thing that's in front of you that you kind of want to do because either there's some revenue attached to it or there's some sort of, you know, academic interest attached to it. And you know, it can create a kind of conflict in the short term. And what having a really clear understanding of your kind of overarching purpose can do is it can ensure that your teams can kind of push back when they sense a kind of incongruous relationship between what they're being asked to do and what they think they should be doing. And this kind of dynamic approach to kind of having a back, you know, to feedback creates a sort of balancing loop within the organization. So it allows the organization itself to know when it should be pushing back to ensure that there's kind of alignment between near-term actions and the kind of deeper long-term vision for the organization. So,
sorry, Chris, do you think that's probably particularly relevant to organize it? Well, it's always relevant, but particularly the case when there's a sort of big shock or some sort of crisis going on, either at the kind of macroeconomic level or within the company, where there is a greater tendency to kind of push these sort of short-term initiatives that are maybe somewhat divergent from the kind of core purpose-driven strategy. I've seen plenty of kind of like short-term sort of sales initiatives, for example, which are quite contrary to the kind of bigger picture, long-term stuff that we were doing, and there was a certain amount of pushback about that, including from myself, and you could sort of see that in action, particularly in times of crisis. I think like preventing that sort of strategic, sort of the wheels coming off the track strategically at crisis points.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, in kind of systems theory, you might describe that as kind of like organizational resilience or kind of system resilience. And one of the characteristics of predominantly complex systems is the sort of characteristic of resilience. And actually, when we talk about, without hoping not to go too far off the path here, but one of the reasons that systems are hard to change is because of this concept of resilience. You know, they are good at plowing on in the right direction towards a purpose. And therefore, you know, when we go in and sometimes, you know, growth teams are prone to thinking that changing a piece of software or changing, you know, maybe, a, you know, some headcount is going to change the course of the system and change the sort of fortunes of the system usually. It typically doesn't because of this kind of concept of resilience. And actually, you know, what you just mentioned there in terms of having this kind of, you know, feedback loop, this kind of, you know, mindscape within the organization where they're trying to, they think they know what they're trying to do. And if you've done it well, they do know what they're trying to do and they've got that right. You know, it keeps you resilient from shock. And I think that is a really, really powerful kind of byproduct of really understanding purpose and kind of embedding purpose within the org, because it sort of creates this kind of coherent guiding light when, you know, the business or the market dynamics or, you know, there is some sort of external shock that means that things are in a state of flux. You know, you've lost your CEO, your major market has put some, you know, tariffs in place on your product, you know, whatever. When you kind of have this, oh my God moment in businesses, which most businesses do at some point, purpose can be the thing that stops you making stupid decisions, that stops you chasing the tactical initiative, the quick kind of, you know, chasing the quick win that is actually hugely divergent from your purpose. Or actually, even if you decide that you have no choice but to do a sort of quick tactical pivot to ensure the, you know, the ongoing viability of the organization, if you're in a really, really horrendous kind of, you know, shock state, then at least having a kind of a mental model that has purpose at the center of it means that you can preserve the identity of the organization through that pivot. You know, it kind of creates a sort of ability to be kind of adaptive and kind of keep the sort of interdepartmental cohesion, the kind of organizational cohesion together, to keep the organization together and pointing roughly in the right direction, and not kind of fracturing into kind of silos with survival behaviors becoming the sort of norm, where everyone just, does whatever they think is going to save their job. Everyone kind of gets that the ship is still fundamentally trying to get to the destination that it left the port and to travel towards. And actually, if we've come across a storm and we've gone slightly off course, we're gonna steer the ship back onto course. And I think that's a real, that is both a kind of positive and negative system characteristic, and purpose is one of the drivers of that resilience.
Yeah, I don't want to go off on one of my social scientific tangents here, but it gets me thinking a lot about sort of social psychology and how collective identity is preserved through sort of centuries and millennia in some cases through this, and that resilience is achieved through a kind of common purpose, a common why, and something we can learn from that I think applies here to taking a systems thinking view of business. But I'll stop there because I know that this is where I'm most likely to go off on a tangent away from the business context. But I think this is fundamental to humans or social psychology, actually.
Well, it is, and actually, a risk of following you down that particular tangent. Organizations, businesses are complex human systems. They might have a lot of technology in it, and their purpose might be to create technology, but they're still human systems. And therefore, the sort of social psychology, the kind of creation of the establishment of social norms, the use of kind of culture as a guiding principle, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks' time, all of these things are fundamental to driving, the sort of self-organizing principles, the sort of adaptive cohesion within the organization as you go through, different external forces shock the organization positively and negatively. I think that purpose is the glue that sticks together all of that. And whilst we have been endeavoring to kind of keep this within the realms of the growth team, it also acts as a kind of guiding principle that can be harnessed across the org, and particularly, I think, when we're thinking about the growth team, by sellers and marketers, because purpose is good for making decisions, really. I think it's what we're kind of saying here in a nutshell. And the decisions we make can also have more macro organizational effects, like shaping the competitive context of the organization, for kind of shaping strategies that's back up to that kind of enterprise level in that sort of, fractal view of the world that I was talking about a little bit earlier on in the pod. From a strategy standpoint, purpose can also define how the firm differentiates itself. If we're thinking about kind of B2B, then we've really got to think about particularly in things like the services sector, we can't really just emphasize functional attributes like price or speed or features or whatever. It's also got to have a relationship maybe with what the business is actually known for. And that's where purpose can have a really strong, it can really strongly shape the sort of strategic positioning of the organization. So, if our purpose is to, kind of be the most trustworthy service provider, in the world, let's obviously didn't think about this example too much, but
it sounds like your company could do with some advice from RevSpace, actually.
I think they probably could, couldn't they?
Just stick an appointment in my diary, mate.
Yes. Example Co is probably not looking that strong, but actually Example Co, if it's really around trust, then that is also going to become potentially a sort of strategic differentiator, in the sense that if we then orientate all of our decision-making towards achieving being the most trustworthy, then actually one of the things we're most likely going to do is we're really going to focus on relationships with, you know, our suppliers, with our customers, you know, with our employees. We're going to really focus on building kind of deep trust and really embedding that into the way that we do business. And therefore, we will become known as an organization that you know, really focuses on the quality of relationships. So that will become a strategic differentiator by through going through purpose. You know, if we have a sort of innovation purpose in our organization, you know, we're all about, I don't know, exploring creative solutions, then, you know, innovative problem solving will probably become a sort of emergent positioning for the organization. So, you know, purpose transcends not just internal sort of the internal kind of decision-making paradigm, but it also starts to shape the actual identity of the organization. And this is where I'm struggling very hard to not fall into the realms of the CSR trap. But ultimately, this is not about sort of saying, like, you know, we are a purpose-driven organization, but it is about saying this is the purpose of our organization. And there is a small but important semantic difference between those two things, which is kind of making sure that essentially our branding and sort of positioning is non-superficial, because it's really rooted in the foundational architecture of our reason for being as an org.
So essentially, a competitor. An example I was thinking back to was when we were thinking about what was the Microsoft, I think you have one, the Microsoft version of an iPod. It was, what was it called? The Zune?
Zune, yeah.
Feature-wise, it was kind of better than the iPod in some ways, but this is a case of like a competitor trying to kind of copy features but couldn't really replicate the sort of system coherence that Apple's purpose was providing, where Apple's purpose is to design, I can't remember the exact statement, but it's about designing beautiful products that are sort of aesthetically pleasing, essentially. And so nothing about the Zune being better than that version of the iPod really caused Apple to take the slightest strategic diversion whatsoever. They just carry on. They were fine with that. Mm-hmm. And of course, Microsoft were completely unable to, as I said, to replicate that system coherence that Apple's purpose provided, because that's nothing to do with Microsoft's purpose at all. And you see the result there.
Yes.
Sorry to slip into the B2C world there again, folks.
Yeah, but no, it's. I think B2C examples are always kind of good in this context, aren't they? Because they're fundamentally quite simple. Which is always good.
Yes, indeed. And most people remember them all, though I'm not sure if anyone apart from maybe you remembers the Zune.
So where are we then? I think that if we think about purpose as a kind of guiding light in the organization, then I think, and we talked about kind of like how we create relevance to marketers. Well, I think if you know, arguably purpose and kind of, you know, brand positioning creates relevance for everyone. But I think that it also enables us to kind of navigate through like day-to-day tensions and kind of conflict and kind of contradictions, I guess, within what we're supposed to be doing at a kind of day-to-day level. And actually, an example that I want to kind of pick on here that we talked about a few times recently, but I think that maybe just kind of reinforcing the point and how it intersects with so many other points is always useful to my mind, is, you know, stuff like monthly sales targets. You know, they are a feature of a great many organizations, and in so many cases, they will collide negatively with the purpose of the organization, because as we have said in previous episodes, when we think about things like monthly sales targets, if our purpose is to, you know, be the biggest, brightest, best, most innovative for a particular person in a particular way, then chasing a number or a quota month to month is going to lead to your sales force making a lot of decisions that are most likely contrary to your why, you know, to the higher purpose of the org. They are going to go after things that are bad fit. They're going to go after things that are, they can only get through heavy discounting. They're going to go after things that are most likely to churn because the solution wasn't, you know, wasn't really right for them in the first place. And they're going to force that through. They are going to maybe deploy sales tactics which are contrary to your sort of cultural beliefs and values as an organization. And that sort of, you know, coming back to that sort of self-organization principle, that kind of mindscape principle, this having clear purpose will allow us to identify the sort of tension that exists between things that are happening in the organization, which are established as being normal, and the things that we should actually be doing, and they should provoke conversation, which makes the organization kind of adaptive, that should drive change dynamically to kind of, you know, steer the organization onto a path that makes it better at achieving its purpose. So
it's another case of the tension sort of pulling the organization forward, yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. And I think that, you know, this is a really good example of, you know, positive decision making, but also like escaping from negative decision making for being a steerage point in times of shock. Like purpose does it all. You know, purpose is the sort of poster child for for kind of the great outcomes within your organization. And you know, I think that there is so much overlap. You know, I have given an example of overlap with a different podcast with a slightly different concept. Purpose, I guess, to start rounding the episode up and, you know, putting it in and, you know, tying it into a knot is that purpose overlaps with almost every other dimension in the operating system, because purpose is one of those three central parts of any system. So any system or subsystem has purpose, whether you've defined it or not. It is either emergent or it is stated. And as we've said before, that identifying any divergence between stated and intent and sort of emergent purpose is quite an important thing. But one of the areas which I think maybe just rounds out the conversation that I will mention and sort of signpost, I guess, for a discussion we're going to have in a couple of weeks' time is the operating system dimension of mastery, how we invest in making our people better at what they need to do to get us to our purpose. And the reason kind of purpose overlaps here is because purpose is kind of a catalyst, I guess, for creating what some people call a learning organization. You know, a learning organization is one that, how would you describe it? Kind of, I guess, continually evolves based on real world feedback and maybe sort of internal reflection, internal feedback loops. And purpose accelerates learning by kind of putting a sort of interpretive lens on what information needs to be gained. So it kind of gives us that sort of guiding light, that North Star on what it is that we need to be learning to kind of to act upon that real world feedback. So it's sort of the catalyst for that. And I guess if everyone knows what the organization's ultimately trying to achieve, and kind of going back to the point we made on like feedback loops, yeah, understanding client feedback, looking at competitor innovation, looking at emerging technology, spotting the right signals, again, going back to a point we made earlier, like what you might call kind of system scanning, we will look for the right signals that tell us about the things that are coming down the tracks at us, whether that is internal things like client feedback, whether that is emergent technologies like AI that are looking at shaping the market. They will guide the sort of the syllabus, I guess, of the learning organization, in terms of how we interpret those things and build them into our mission and purpose. And I guess they also help with sort of retrospectives as well, you know, learning from what went wrong. I think when you've got that clear understanding of purpose, then you can also really see when things do diverge from the path, which of course things do in every organization. You know, they give you a framework to get better as an organization because it allows you to really understand what was important, and to remedy those problems and to kind of put that information into context of purpose.
Great. Now, we're probably going to have to wrap up quite soon. Any sort of final thoughts that you want to add in at this stage, Chris?
I don't know. I've waffled on quite a lot about all sorts of stuff in this particular episode. But I guess one parting thought I would probably have is that purpose isn't a static concept, albeit it should be a slow-moving one. There is a sort of dynamic recalibration, I guess you might call, that's required to ensure that the organization has ongoing relevance. And I think that really strong purposes offer a lot more stability than perhaps weaker ones. And I think the Lego example you gave is a really good example.
I was going to say there's something very sort of robust and resilient to change around that very well thought out, very simple purpose.
Exactly. But an organization that's continuously listening to kind of signals from customers and competitors and trends and employee sentiment and all of that kind of good stuff, should be evolving as an organization. And sometimes that will require an evolution in purpose. But the more you feel your purpose needs to evolve, probably the weaker that purpose was in the first place. And I think that taking the Lego example and creating kind of resilience in your purpose will create resilience in your organization. So I think that's my sort of final thought.
Yeah. To be honest, me, just to at the risk of being boring, mine too, I think is the gold standard for a succinctly stated and robust purpose that's almost immune to the changing market and the changing world. I think we could all learn something from the Lego example.
There we go. We can all learn something from Lego. Wasn't expecting that to be the main outtake of.
It is Friday, and no doubt I'm about to spend the next 2 days playing with a lot of Lego. So maybe it was just on my mind.
You're primed.
What's about time for us to wrap up? The Growth System, as always, is brought to you by RevSpace. That's us. We are a growth systems consultancy. Or are we the growth systems consultancy, Chris?
We're certainly the best one in my mind, yeah.
I think we're the growth systems consultancy. So we connect B2B organizations with the future of growth with consultancy, education, and applied delivery services. Please don't forget to follow and rate the podcast. It really helps us bring this content to a wider audience. And as always, we really appreciate a moment of your time just to tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. What would you like to hear next season?
Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot. See you next week. Bye-bye.